Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 22nd on the West Coast, now December the 23rd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those who may be listening in on Wind Talkers radio network around the world, and the reason I put it like that is because there has been a major worldwide outage of Skype all day long. That's the voice over internet protocol that many people use for broadcasting their shows live on the internet or via streaming software. And if you're listening on the internet or listening on the radio, it's because of the internet that this show is actually getting to you. So it's important. And from what we can tell, Skype didn't anticipate the problem that they have, and they appear now to be correcting the problem. Normally, there are anywhere from 15 million to, say, 17 million users at any given time, and it seems to work pretty well despite that use. And it went down as low as 10,000 users at one point around 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right now they're up to, or they're soon approaching 4 million users, so it looks like the network is going back up. We have had some communication problems, but we're sorting those out. I am in the process, or I should say we are in the process of bringing tonight's guest, Michael Anthony, online with us. The connection has been rather slow across the country. You can see it spreading out as time goes on. In the meantime, while we're making the attempt to bring our guest on board tonight, I'm going to open up with a piece by Yellow Jackets from their Blue Hats album. And this is a song that I want to dedicate to all those who are praying for our soldiers, especially those in Afghanistan. There have been some battles and loss of life, particularly some Marines. And we'll detail that a bit more. I also want to dedicate this to a group of people, a very large group of people from other parts of this galaxy. They're known as the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon, Project Alliance. And they're watching over us along with God and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose birthday we are going to be celebrating in just a few days. And this is called With These Hands.
Thank you.
That was With These Hands. With These Hands. Think about what can be done with God's hands in our lives right now. If I sound a bit spiritual, obviously it's because I have felt the need to begin tonight's show from a spiritual perspective, since so often we describe to you as truthfully as we possibly can, the evil that is rampant around the world, the corruption in the banking system, the corruption in government, the corruption in private corporations, international corporations, all grabbing at straws as they try to salvage what's left of what they have destroyed. The many lives of people around the world. This is not something new. This has been going on for a long, long time, thousands and thousands of years, and it's got to come to an end. And I thought, just as a gesture of gratitude on behalf of those that know that we are being watched and know that we are being helped by forces outside the realms of this insanity on this planet, it's my way of saying thank you to the United Galactic Federation and the friends that I have made through General Jeremiah and those that are helping get this show not just around the world, but on over 2,000 planets in this galaxy. I know that is a stretch for some, but it's the truth. It's the truth, and someday that will be quite evident to a lot of people. Well, we were able to very quickly establish contact with tonight's guest. He is a, and so we're going to bring him on right now. He is an environmental scientist, a chemist. He is an historian, an herbalist, and a musician, and he's a frequent visitor here to Evident Footprints over all the years that I've been on the air now. My good friend and yours, Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Don. Thank you. Great to be back.
Well, I'm glad we were able to get you online here. It's been crazy all day for a lot of people. I have to take my hat off, tip my hat. Actually, I wasn't even wearing one, but it's a figure of speech. To Drew Malone Raines III, who did his show from his neighbor's telephone out on the street. He was streaming around the world. That's how dedicated he is, and that's how important it is to get the truth out. And despite the fact that Skype was down, his internet was down, he did his first hour and 10 minutes from a portable phone. Can you imagine that?
That is amazing. Yeah, that is amazing.
That is devotion and dedication to getting the message out.
And taking advantage of modern technology in a positive way.
Yes, yes. And then eventually he was able to get back online and through the magic of his support crew in Russia and Australia, Larissa and Bobby, he was able to broadcast the second hour with decent sound, by the way. we have to jump through hoops just to get the message to the people, let alone deliver it, you know, in the process of what we're doing. I wanted to bring up a topic. You and I haven't discussed at all what we're going to be covering tonight, and it really doesn't bother me because you can handle pretty much any topic that we talk about. In the past 3-4 years, I've been talking occasionally about a group called the Office of International Treasury Control. Now, this is alleged officially to be a bogus group, and yet my research has uncovered the fact that this group has an address in Washington, D.C., in the same building where Alan Greenspan, former, what would you call him, the CEO of the Federal Reserve, the chairman, they like to call him, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, when all of this money laundering and all of this massive theft and embezzlement of the public funds began, really during the tail end of the Reagan administration and up to today. This group is denied to exist, and yet the story is that one Ray C. Dam, who is called His Excellency, allegedly trained by the U.S. government, well, probably the secret government, and the British counterpart, to be basically the chairman and the controller of the massive wealth of the world that basically collateralizes all the money that's out there, all the paper money. And Dam had been living in Cambodia, and I know people that have actually been in touch with him over the years. So I find it pretty interesting that he was arrested, and one of his compatriots was also arrested. I'll admit that this is a very shady group, but it's no different from the ones in New York or in Washington. or in Chicago and Texas and wherever you want to point out, you know, that, that this financial corruption is going on. But it, it connects to a, an arrest that was made. Oh, I'm going to say it was a little over a year ago, roughly about a year and a half ago, near the Italian-Swiss border, two individuals who I know who they were, and so do many other people, were arrested bringing bonds, billions of dollars of bonds, over the border from Italy. They were on a, let's say, a cargo train. And they got off in Switzerland, and they were arrested with what was alleged to have been $134.5 billion worth of bonds. And the bonds were allegedly signed by Alan Greenspan and one of the Bushes, as I recall. You never know if this is just disinformation getting out there or it was true. But this is referenced again in Racy Dam was arrested and is being charged under what they call Article 629, which has to do with forging government documents. Now, that could be true, but I find the anomaly of this whole thing is that the OITC, which everyone says does not exist, has an office, or at one time had an office in the same building as Alan Greenspan. And they're alleged to control large amounts of real estate, especially here in the United States, Chicago being one location. And I think that's a story that, as it unfolds, is going to connect a lot of dots because the corruption is still ongoing. Any thoughts on that before we get into some other things?
Well, for sure, Don, the Federal Reserve is simply a branch of a major limb, which is covers the entire globe in financing. And so it wouldn't be a far fetch of imagination or a far stretch of imagination to conceive that there's behind the scenes another group that remain more invisible. And they conduct the real affairs of their racketeering system, because that's what the Federal Reserve is. It's a monetary racketeering system. And through the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, these are the larger limbs that the Federal Reserve is a branch of. And just like the London Bank, which is a primary center of their activity as well. And so it wouldn't be difficult to understand that such more discrete activities occurring, just like here in our own government. You know, we've heard the term of the shadow government. And so, of course, there's got to be a shadowy entity with the finance world as well. And it's all legitimate. We have a shadow government, men that really control our government from the shadows, behind the scenes. You cover that all the time. Obama, Clinton's, Bush, mere puppets of the real controllers, the puppet masters. And which are the financiers, again, that control the Federal Reserve, own the Federal Reserve, the Rockefellers, Schwarzschilds, Warburgs, Goldman Sachs, the usual list of characters and suspects. And so pertaining to this specific story you mentioned, Don, I haven't heard of it, so I'm not familiar with it. However, I would expect when such a large sum of money in bonds is being transferred, is being transported, you're going to have a little army escorting that bundle, not just a couple guys in with a suitcase handcuffed to the wrist. And so I would expect quite a big contingency accompanying that bundle of bonds. And if that was the case, I wouldn't see an arrest really coming about. So that's all I can really say so far on that one.
Yeah. You know, the stories out there, and I mean, these go all the way to the top. Okay. There isn't a president since Reagan that didn't know about this. And it's been, a plausible reason for all the traveling to Southeast Asia. You hear about, well, he's in China, he's in, and who's he? It doesn't really matter. Whoever the usurper in charge is at the time.
Right.
And we can say that with pretty good
That's a definite.
Accuracy going back to Eisenhower.
Mm-hmm. It's a definite.
And you say, oh, no, this guy was born here in this country. Well, you know what? If there was fraud committed in pretending you're an American and this line succeeded through time, I can tell you Johnson definitely wasn't an American. There's plenty of evidence to show that. They pretended he was, just like they did Eisenhower. And Bush Senior, the same thing.
So,
they would have done what was proper, George W. Bush would have never been born, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, like with Bush, old man Bush, the old kraut, what's interesting with him, Don, is that you would still expect him to have some kind of German accent, wouldn't you?
Oh, well.
Because he came over much later in his years.
Well, he's now, got an accent, but it's not German.
And definitely.
It's not manly either.
No, he's definitely not masculine. No, that's for sure. None of them are. I mean. And his son GW is definitely a faggot. But as far as he came over much later with the Scherf theory, that so he came over much later, I would expect a German accent with him. Now, LBJ, I'm not familiar with his background yet enough to be aware that he's not a natural born American either. But he sure seemed to have a real strong Texas accent, if I recall right.
Yes. I'm not discounting the accents, but you see, they were brought over here at young ages.
And right, exactly.
And they forged documents for them.
Right. And, so for LBJ, I would expect that he came over real young because he grew up as a Texan and acquired their accent. But old man Bush, you know, definitely no real American accent in any of his speaking. He's got a weird, unusual bit of mannerism with his speech, no question about it. And all the Bushes seem to.
Yeah.
And but definitely no German accent, which I would expect if a guy's coming over around the age of 20.
Well, you know, using the mind control that they use, they can compartmentalize them and have them put on any kind of accent. I can't imagine what he would sound like speaking German, you know.
I wouldn't rule that out, Don.
His
There's something
language.
To that, too.
Yeah. Well, another thing now. I don't know if you've been listening to some of the recent shows, but there is disclosure going on about a dimensional portal that opened up about 10 miles above the surface of the Gulf of Aden, or Aden, some pronounce it, south of Yemen, in between Yemen and Somalia. And there's a contingency of international ships that are in a sort of a semicircle, creating a perimeter around an area that they don't want people to get too close to. And this dimensional portal was recently opened, and it's causing a lot of attention and in a major way, because there's a lot of traffic going through this portal. When we're talking about space traffic, which is also indicating that there's an underwater base underneath that gulf that actually extends under the surface of Yemen. Quite an interesting development.
Absolutely, Don. And
explains the piracy that's going on. The piracy is just a cover story to keep people away from that area.
Okay. Well, the Earth definitely has various locations with vortex activity and or portal activity.
Yes.
Because technically they're vortexes.
Mm-hmm.
And so This could be a new one. This could be an old one, Don, being reactivated, possibly.
Yes.
Instead of something that's new just appearing, most likely an ancient one being reactivated.
Mm-hmm. My understanding is that it extends way out into the galaxy to another one of our planets. And I don't have any reason to discount that. I find it interesting because they keep saying, well, you know, there's no life anywhere. If there was, we would have found it by now. And it's quite a ridiculous statement to make. It shows really how stupid they are. Forget about how dumb they think we are.
Well,
it really demonstrates and a paranoia, too.
Sure, that they have.
And fear. And
yes,
it's those that are fearful that impose a system of fear on others.
Well, what they're fearful, Don, is two things. One, that the truth does manage to break loose and the populace at large acquires it and realizes what's really going on. And the second thing they fear is that the good Lord himself is going to crush them any day now. Well, so they got a lot to be afraid of.
Yes, that's true. Just to let you know, I'm getting a bit of a warble on your end. So
okay.
I don't know if you can check connections and that.
Everything seems good on my end. I hear you fine.
Yeah, I am getting a warble as if it's like a jitter or something on your end. So
okay.
Just letting you know.
All right.
Well, there are a lot of other things going on. Strange weather. You know, we have this global warming, and that brings about massive amounts of snow. Can you imagine if we didn't have the global warming, what it would be like?
Yes, that's right, Don. And but so far for us here, we are getting away with it. In this particular location of the Hudson Valley, because we've got snow north of us and south, but where we are, it's been really good. And my weather forecast has been right on the money all the way from September all the way up to now so far for exactly where I am at, because that's the only way I can be the most accurate is that's where I'm standing observing Mother Nature's indicators of the upcoming season and the type of weather it's going to bring. But all in all, it's been very cold here for the past month, though. No question about that, as I guess everybody else is experiencing that one, too, even all the way down south. Abnormally cool for them as well. And obviously, global warming sure isn't amounting to much. And good old Al G, or Al Gore, clearly.
Al G, that's a good one.
Good old algae, the slime ball that he is. Yeah, there you go. That's right. Mr. Green Algae, the real slime ball himself. Well, he should be in jail for all the fraud he's just committed. And but the weather's going to be crazy, and I'm still confident that my predictions with what climate changes that are coming will be that it's just going to be extreme weather. People are going to say it's ice age is coming. Others are going to say it's going to be a major global warming. And they'll both be right, because it's just going to be extreme weather constantly with very rare days of normal weather.
Mm-hmm.
As we get closer and closer to the big momentous event that's looming in the not too distant future for the Earth. Because as we've covered many times, Don, and as you've allowed me to say quite a few times on your show, that from my perspective, I'm aware that the Earth is transitioning itself into a new position along with the whole solar system. Everything is spiraling upward into a new position in the universe, and it's being realigned again with a greater central sun in the universe, which is, of course, an incredibly gigantic sun. And we're going to be receiving a lot of new energies, and they will be really amplified through our own solar sun. And ultimately, when this all manifests and finalizes it will restore the earth into a wonderful place to live. And that's the good news. The bad news will be that when that does happen, any kind of being that is very evil-oriented will not be allowed to exist here. Their thought patterns won't even be able to exist here. And so they'll be gone. And the other part of the bad news is, before we get to that beautiful spot, it's going to be a rough ride, unfortunately, because the controllers do not want us to arrive at that spot, do not want the Earth to transition itself or graduate, would be even another good way to look at it. Mm. The Earth is graduating to a higher level of operation, which is much more closer to the Almighty's perfect will. As the Lord's Prayer said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that will is a perfect will from a perfect creator. And these dirtbag scum controllers like the Rockefellers, the Schwarzschilds, and all these banking families, they that control the world and want everybody in misery, in poverty, in suffering, in sick and misery, that's what they like. They do not want this event to happen, and they're doing everything they can to try to interfere with it, to try to prevent it. And the chemtrail activity is one of the really primary agendas and activities of that, proving that this is really what's going on here. Because the chemtrails, if they just wanted to poison us through the atmosphere, then they would do it invisibly so we wouldn't even see it. But they can't do it invisibly because the real agenda is to obstruct the sunlight from striking the earth as the sun renews itself into a new sun, as it gets stimulated by the greater central sun in the center of the universe, of our universe. And so they know all this is coming, so they're trying to obstruct those sunlight energies from striking our planet. And that's why the chemtrails have to have an opaqueness. They're using chemicals that cause a cloud-like film, causing opaqueness, which serves as a filter to obstruct the sunlight from striking the earth.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned something that I've talked about on many shows, and we always get new listeners and some people that have been following us, and they hear us talk about politics and corruption and oil disasters and what they're doing with the food, what they're doing with vaccinations or attempting to do, all the agendas, the secret ones, the ones that have leaked out, and then they come up with new schemes, new false flag events. We talk about all these things. One would ask, well, where do you get your information? Personally, it arrives, in my case, via intuitive impulses, if you want to call it that. It's sure. An understanding. Sometimes it's a result of a prayer. And it arrives not necessarily at the conclusion of that prayer, but it might happen days or weeks later. Suddenly I'm doing some mundane thing, like pouring myself a cup of coffee, and all of a sudden that flash of consciousness flows through me, and I understand what's happening. Despite what anyone else is saying, if you get my meaning.
Yes, I do.
And yet I've talked with many, many others, and you asserted the same authority, the same confidence that I feel and I know when that message comes through. Where or how does that message arrive? Is this something that you're learning from listening to others and reading and studying and observing and interacting with nature, or is it coming from a higher vibration? Because you're really speaking about higher vibrations here.
Oh, yes. Yes, Don. Well, again, our brain is simply a receiver transmitter, and like a radio. And so we just have to tune in, dial in to that station we want to listen to. And there's higher stations and lower stations to tune into.
Mm-hmm.
And so so people like us that are spiritually awake, that have a good feel for our Creator, we have a means of dialing in without much effort. And it's something that, like with everything else, you, with experience and practice, you get better at. And so for me personally, from my own personal experiences, I can say that, a lot of times when I was young, when the Lord came to me when I was around 14 and, started working with me very closely as far as education wise, a lot of times I would just get it beamed right into my brain, and there would always be a high pitch association with it, a very high pitch, so much so that every time I would hear it, it was like somebody threw a switch. I could hear it come on, the high pitch. And when there's people around me, when it happens, I would always say, "Do you hear that?" And they say, "Hear what?" I said, "Don't you hear this real high pitch? It's very high." And they say, "What?" But then there's other times where it's just the voice, and the voice just speaks to you. And a really great example was like last winter when I was cutting firewood, and I went over to this section in the woods, and these trees that I wanted to get to, they were all dead, and they were leaning on each other. And when I cut through all the trunks, none of them would drop. And so now they're suspended, pinched on each other, but they're all cut clean through. And it was very dangerous to work on, and it took me time to size it all up because it was very dangerous. And then I couldn't get them to drop, which made it even more dangerous. And I had chains and bars of my chainsaw stuck in these trunks while I was working my way through all these cuts. And then going back and taking the chains and the bars out so I didn't lose them when the trees came down, and they would get mangled. And so the trees wouldn't come down. And I was very concerned about that because, God forbid, somebody ended up under it or an animal like deer, and then all of a sudden they came down. It would be over for that poor thing. And so while I was very concerned about that and trying to figure out what is my next approach, the good Lord comes right through as always, and I hear the voice, "Michael, just leave it for now. At the end of the week, I'm going to send a big storm through. It'll take the trees down." Exactly at the end of the week, a huge storm with incredible winds came through. I go back out to the site. The trees are down.
Now, you had the option to call ESPN and ask them if they would come and film you hosting a lumberjack competition. Those guys that could do it for free. You know? You could have had sponsors and everything.
Well, not much lumberjacking, but just getting a good workout. But there, you know, the voice comes right through, and clear as a bell. And so many times throughout my life, I mean, years ago when I was a kid, around 15, and growing up here was a blast because it was all kids of different ages. And so Halloween and Mischief Night, the night before, was called Mischief Night. And you'd go out and you'd laugh your tail off all night long at what everybody was doing, egg fights, tomato fights, and just general stupid stuff. And then the older kids, they were throwing dummies off a building in front of the cars going up and down Main Street, scaring the heck out, especially these older people, seniors that would be driving, thinking that they just hit somebody. So the local cops got real mad, and I was just walking home. I wasn't involved with that. These guys were a little older. And so I was just walking home, and I was coming by Main Street on my way home, and I ran into a friend, and we were walking home, and all of a sudden the cops came, and they came after me and my friend thinking we were a part of all this. And there was kids all over the place. But they go after me and Pete, and so we go running, but they're right on us. So there's nowhere to go. So we go right alongside this building. And there's no backyard. It's all cliffs and a waterfalls. And so there's nowhere to go. We know the area and there's no backyard. It was pitch dark. So we weren't going to venture past that house. So I just ran right up against the foundation of the building. And then he did too at the other end of the corner. And so when the police came out of the car, I could see the flashlight hit me and I was ready to get up. But the voice that I know so well said, "Stay down, don't move." So I obeyed, and then they walked right by me. They get Pete, and they ask him, "Where'd your friend go?" And he said, "Oh, he just kept running." Now, back in those days, there was no big deal. They probably took Pete home at the time, told his parents. His dad would give him a little shellacking for the embarrassment, and that'd be the end of it. And so after they left, I get up and I start to hightail it towards home, which is just a few blocks away. And as I'm walking away from the building, the voice says, "Mike, stop, turn around, look." So I turn around and look, and Don, I'm not exaggerating. There was nothing there. I mean, there was no bush. There was no weeds. There was nothing there, protecting me from the vision of the police. And so I was stunned to see that literally the Lord had me invisible, but the voice, you see, the voice told me, "Don't move. Just stay still, Mike." The Lord's always been good to me. And so there's that voice that comes right through, and that's clear as a bell. But many other times, like you were saying, Don, it just comes in through various forms of intuition. But I'm really familiar with the beaming technique, because it seems like a capsule of energy just being beamed right in. And then a lot of times when I was younger and I would get this happening frequently, I would say, "What is this? What's going on?" And the voice would say, "Just information for your use in down the road. It'll all come together as you get older."
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, it seems to have come out and worked out just that way.
Well, this is a perfect segue to another song. You're speaking about the silence. That voice often comes out of a moment of silence.
Yes.
You were being very quiet, stealthy, and certainly at a young age you were frightened and about to possibly be blamed or arrested for something that occurred that you had nothing to do with, which often happens, and yet the higher powers can intercede. And that's a perfect example of what we've been talking about, people reaching a knowledge of self, not in an egotistical sense, but their relationship to the creation and honoring the creation, knowing themselves and knowing why they came here and fulfilling that purpose.
That's right. That would be called the soul's destiny.
Yes. Well, I want to segue for a moment and allow people to contemplate this while we listen to a couple of songs more in the spirit of this holy season.
Great.
Thank you.
Was Larry Carlton's edition of Silent Night, and it came upon a midnight clear. Nice guitar work, huh, Michael?
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Fabulous, fabulous musician.
Definitely. Very blessed.
You know, it makes me feel like I'm in another world when I listen to music like that.
Don, that's what makes life so grand, beautiful music like that. Now, if I could share with you and your audience another classic, this is going to be so thrilling to listen to. Mario Lanza, O Holy Night.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, great. Here you go.
Shining, it is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and sorrow pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. All on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, for night divine, oh, night when Christ was born.
Yeah, what a voice. Boy, he hit a high B on the end of that.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
I mean, I get a tear in my eye every time I listen to that. You couldn't ask for a better arrangement with the best angelic voices. The chorusing in the middle of the section, just fantastic to accompany Mario. And the power and the emotion they put into that number, nothing can glorify the Lord and exalt him like that. It's from man. Well, it's just incredible.
That's known as a classic, that recording.
It really is, Don.
Yeah. And it shows your Italian influence, too.
Yes. Yes. Well, I'm all Italian, as far as second generation Italian ancestry, all American boy, though, of course. But yes, just beautiful classic stuff right there. And boy, if I could only have a voice, even a third or a quarter or a tenth of what Mario was blessed with. What an incredible voice.
Yeah.
And out of all his music, which is great, that's my favorite, because he really, really does capture it with the emotion for exalting the Lord, who is so near and dear to my heart. And anytime you need some encouragement, you listen to that, and it'll renew and invigorate you. And next thing you know, your spirits recharge, and you're ready to take on these dirt bags with their hellish system they're trying to subvert the entire world with. And so that's the kind of music we need to have all the time. And you know, Don, we covered it in the past, and it's worth mentioning again.
Sure.
It's music that will influence the culture. It's not coincidence that our culture is so degraded, and at the same time we hear terrible music, no real singing, no real meaning to the lyrics that has any real value. The tunes will be all gone in no time and forgotten. Not like all this kind of music that is rich, and no matter when you play it, no matter how many decades later, whoever's listening will say, wow, that's incredible. Mm. And so that's why we need to get the music industry back on track with real talent, real musicians. And I'm not saying there's no talent in the industry. Of course there is. But they don't get the credit and the recognition they deserve. They're promoting a bunch of garbage and crap all the time. That's irritating and noisy. And that's not coincidence, because it causes the culture to demise, because it's vibration, and the vibration stimulates the matter in either a positive or a negative way, either a constructive or a destructive way.
Yes. And the thoughts in the lyrics. Granted, there's a lot of rap music or hip hop music, for instance, that talks about, you know, it's not even fair to just, single out two types of music, really one that sprung out of the other. But this idea that somehow it enriches people spiritually to talk about drive-by shootings or the degradation of women or
exactly
drugs and money and
the attitude that goes with it, the attitude that they display, which is so loser. I mean, come on, you know,
there are exceptions, you know.
Yes, there always are.
But by and large, it's promoted and encouraged to be self-deprecating, and many have gotten rich from that, to show that it's not so much that people are hungry for this on a spiritual level, but it's the only way people think that they can cope with the chaos that's going on. And it's just more chaos. It resonates with the chaos.
You got it.
And as you said, it's destructive. It resonates with the destruction. And it causes destruction. It doesn't build up a people. It angers people. And it makes them do crazy things. And then they're mirroring
precisely
that are inspiring all of this. And it all is born out of evil.
Exactly right.
You're in spiritual warfare. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
The attacks on people today. And I want to say this, too. This is deviating in a little way from the current topic, but you'll see the connection right away. You know, this issue of the telecommunications being hacked and brought down to its knees is a way to stop communication. Now, when you have 17 million listeners on Skype at any given time, and it's about to approach 5 million now, it was much lower when we started the show tonight, and I first mentioned this. It's just about doubled since that time in the space of an hour. 17 million people are not on the internet talking to one another over voice over internet protocol because they all have radio shows. People are talking. There's a lot of business that's conducted. And I would suspect that today there were some major maneuvers being done online or via private cables where there was some more hanky-panky in the financial sector going on. And I'll bet you that's why this occurred, that people couldn't talk because Skype is encrypted, and which means it's more difficult for them to listen to all the conversations going on. And if people were going to communicate with each other via email, well, they're reading all the email, and they're tapping into all the private phone conversations. Whether they think they have the right to do that or not is another matter. But nonetheless, I think, we should be paying attention to what's going on because we had predicted that there would be some false flag event. And certainly the Skype issue certainly smells like one. I don't know how you feel about that, but we have other ways to communicate. We didn't always have this. You see, and we don't have to be so dependent on it either. Go ahead.
Well, we always have to have options, Don. And they try to limit us with our options, of course. That's what they are constantly doing, is trying to make sure we have no options. And we can expect that they will try to interfere with our communications because, especially over internet, it seems to be the only real media or medium, which is enabling us, as far as everybody on there, to speak their mind without any kind of censorship. And that's what freedom is all about. And so, especially with shows like yourself, Don, that really get into the truth all the time, they're going to definitely have keen awareness and interest in trying to interfere or shut it down eventually. And we have to expect that. And that's why it'd be nice to have some options in place. So, in the event of that, we can have a backup system ready to go, and we can continue on with listening to great shows like yourself and being informed constantly of what's going on.
Well, if you were to, I hate the word wish, you know, but let's say if you were to make a request on behalf of the world, in terms of putting an end to all of this insanity that's going on.
That's easy.
And I'm putting you on the spot in a way. You know, this, folks, you need to know that Michael's not prepared for this. But if I were to ask what you would ask the Creator God to do at this time, what would that be?
Don, Michael's always prepared, pal. And that's because the good Lord has been good with me. And Don, as I always say to such a question, and I pray this all the time I pray this, if everybody could only know the Lord at least as well as I know him, so I know they will all be at least as happy as I am, then I know this world will be so much better just from that level of operation. I'm nothing special, but I know the Lord well. And because I know the Lord well, I have and I've acquired that peace that passeth understanding, as the Lord would say. And so no matter how turbulent and no matter how much turmoil is going on externally, there's a calmness within under all situations because the Lord is in control. And where the Lord is, their perfection follows. So if you leave everything in the hands of the Lord and say, you know, Lord, this situation is really out of control for me. I'm stepping back. Show me how to get through this situation, Lord. Resolve it in your own perfect way. Because when the Lord takes on a situation, it always resolves perfectly. There's no after effects except just good results. There's no harm. Everything will work out perfectly. And so by just allowing us as individuals to allow the Lord to operate through us, especially when things are out of control for us as an individual, then people will be amazed. Wow, I asked the Lord to help out, and I'm not the only one that has experienced this. I'm sure many people right now listening can relate to exactly what I'm saying and say, yeah, that's how it works, Mike. We allow the Lord to operate through us and say, Lord, take control over the situation for me, please. And you got to step back. But at the same time, you got to be attentive because the Lord's working through us. When he's going to say, okay, now, Mike, do this. Now, Mike, say this. And when you do it and you say it at that right time, lo and behold, you get the result. The perfect result comes about. And there's resolution to the situation. And generally, everybody's happy. Everything works out for everybody. And whatever the situation may be. And so I would say, Don, that that's the first and foremost. Most thing for me personally as an individual that I always wish for all the time for everybody, because I am very lucky and the good Lord has been good with me. And now I wish that everybody could have at least that same relationship that I have, at least that much, even more. That's even better for everybody. But if they have at least as much as I have, I know they'll all be at least as happy as I am, never getting sick, never ever sick, never down because I don't feel good. Mm-hmm. Never. And so all these, everything's always going good. You're managing always to make ends meet. And there's always problems and all that, but the Lord is always resolving them. So you're ready for the next situation, the next problem. They're never going to end, but they'll always resolve. And then we learn through that experience how to resolve problems in a perfect way, because when the Lord's operating through us, there's always perfection as a result. And so that would be the primary thing that I would wish for. And then ultimately that we all then grow to such closeness with the good Lord and the Almighty that it's pure angelic heavenly living on good old planet Earth with Mother Nature.
Yeah, I pray that people will individually and collectively wake up and become a part of this change that the Earth is undergoing and everything connected to it. And the answers and the solutions that people are looking for will come about of their own accord. But people have to take action. You do have to say the prayer, and you do have to act as if the prayer has already been answered, because in that sense, in the truest sense of faith and how it operates, that's 99% of the whole thing right there.
Yes, it is. And we have to be good. And it's so easy to be good. But in this world, it's actually hard to be good. It takes work in the beginning to be good, because the world is bent towards the opposite of being good. And so in the beginning, it takes work to be good and not to be selfish, but to have the real self manifest that is unselfish in negative ways, where you're not just constantly, you know, thinking, well, I need this, I need that, because the real self will say, I don't need that, I don't need this, because I already have that. And you start thinking of others, whether it's people and animals. I was stocking up on some more feed for the animals, because I'll be going in the woods again soon for firewood. And I go in with a lot of food for the animals and the birds. And so when I'm at the feed store again, and they're like, yeah, you're really feeding those birds, huh? And I said, yeah, you got to spread it around. The Lord is good. And you can't be selfish, because it takes, in order to receive, you have to give. It's just one of the laws of life. And you don't have to give everything. Just give what you can when the need arises. I'm not saying just give randomly either. You have to use your wisdom and know when the Lord is asking you to give. And the situation will come about, and you know you can help somebody or something by giving them whatever it is they need. And when you do that in that kind of fashion and gesture, you feel great on the inside. Even though you say, you know, I could use that money, but then you realize they need it more and you give it to them, or you buy something that they needed with it and give it to them. You feel so good on the inside knowing that that person or that thing, that animal, whatever it is, has just benefited. You just made their day. You might have made their week. You might have made their month. Mm-hmm. And that comes back to you. And now once you realize this is how it works, you don't want to operate from that perspective like, well, I know if I just keep giving, I'll keep receiving. So I'll keep giving for the sake so I keep receiving. That can't be your real motive. Your real motive is you feel in your heart the sympathy for that being that needs something right now and they don't have it. And you're in the position that you could provide it. And so, but you got to feel it in your heart. You got to feel that sympathy that, you know, darn it, that person is hurting or that poor animal or something. It needs some help. And then when you're operating from that emotional perspective, then you're going to really receive a lot.
Yeah.
Because you're operating in a very sincere way. You're proving your godliness to your creator, who is God Almighty. And we're just his children. You're proving to good old Big Daddy, good Lord Almighty himself, that you love him and you're sensitive to all of his creation. And that's what makes us men, Don.
Yes. Now, we don't do commercials here, and we're going to have to wrap here, but I want to put out a word for anyone who's compelled to get a loved one or a friend a Christmas gift. Consider going to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on sponsors, and then click on Michael Anthony and read up on Michael's herbal supplements. Check out Infection Killer. If you've come down with a cough or a respiratory problem that I see a lot of people are getting sick because of the chemtrail spraying and all the toxins that they're taking into their body. It's a wonderful product. His system toner, his rapid heal, the cancer blaster. He's got a wonderful shampoo and conditioner, unlike anything that you've tried. And I encourage you, Michael will get it out to you as fast as possible at this busy time, I'm sure. But even if it got there after Christmas, you're going to hear the thank yous down the road for many months to come. Michael, I want to thank you for being on the show. And I want to
thank you, Don.
Very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. You won't be with us until next year, so I'll go ahead and say that right now.
Thank you very much, Don. It's always a lot of fun to be on your show. And thanks for that plug. And by the way, I'm glad you mentioned that because everybody listening, it is Christmas time. And I'm a man of my word. And everybody that's been ordering from me for the last 3 weeks are getting nice Christmas specials because it's that time of year given. And so anybody that does contact me, expect a little nice discount with your order. And Don, Merry Christmas to you. And Merry Christmas to everyone listening. God bless. Jesus the Christ is the reason for the season. Every time you hear somebody say Happy Holidays, you make sure you tell them, don't give me that commie crap. It's Merry Christmas.
And I almost forgot to mention dragon juice. You gotta
oh, yes.
Get that.
And thank you, Don. And I still, it's been nonstop, Don, but I will get to it. And I will get you the new Dragon Juice Delight in a concentrate form so I can ship it to you and so you can check that one out. It's really nice.
Okay, great. Well, you have a wonderful Christmas, and don't work too hard out there in the woods. Always take your pigeons there for backup. I'm going to say goodnight now. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And tonight's guest, Michael Anthony. Again, go to my website, directlightproductions.com. Click on the sponsors page. It's at the top of every page on the website. And then you'll scroll down a bit, you'll see Michael Anthony. Click on that, and you'll see Michael Anthony's private stock. I want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints, either live or on a an archive. And I want to thank you especially because of all the difficult problems that you have been dealing with all day today as well. Over at BBS Radio, I want to thank Seth Hendrick and Doug Newsom on the audio, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. If you miss another show this week, I'll wish you a Merry Christmas right now. In the meantime, join me tomorrow night when my special guest is former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.